Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you whenever, and oh, by the way, whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, and we are broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in beautiful, sunny New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. This is the Power of Performance, the show that asks the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Brought to you by Marquee, GoMarquee.com, well known for their MCIF and CRM solutions. They are also one of the fastest growing creative agencies in the banking marketplace. And now we're going up to Michigan with Tough Talking Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing fine. And I wanted to let you know that today's show is not BYOB. It is NYIB.
IB. Very nice. Not BYOB. Awesome.
And this is, as you guys know, this is Tough Talking Troy, and I'm coming to you from the NYIB conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And with me today are two very special people. Please give a studio welcome to Julie, who is the chairman of the NYIB Executive Board, and to Nicole, who's Vice President of Education for Mountain West Credit Union Association.
Very nice. Hey, ladies, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So, Julie, I want to start with you first. Being the chairman of the NYIB, I know that for about 3 or 4 years now you've served in this executive role. You told us that you have committed 10 years of your life to this involvement with NYIB, which is about financial literacy for you. Tell me again, why have you done this?
Well, thank you, Troy, for having me today. I am just excited to share my passion, and I do this because I see the impact that NYIB has on our communities and our nation, on our credit unions. And what we do is we bring forward all the tools and resources. We're actually called the Reachers and Teachers for Youth, and we provide quality financial education programs for credit unions so they can go back to their communities and help bring financial wellness to all of their local communities and schools for their youth programs. So this year we are celebrating our 42nd anniversary with NYIB, and we're just excited to bring forward all the new knowledge and awareness of youth advocacy with our sponsors and vendors that support the organization every year, as well as all the credit unions nationwide. What does that mean? We have a purpose, and that is to educate our youth with all different types of financial subjects. When we do that, we have a national reporting on our website, so every credit union / individual who goes out into the community and reports a presentation, we house the data. And our goal is to reach over 500,000 students yearly on how many that we were able to cover and showcase that to our legislators nationwide. So when we go out and hike the hills and talk to them, we're making an impact. We are not only giving them quality financial services, but we are also giving them the education so they can make good, solid, sound decisions. And so that's what we celebrate every year.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense to me because I've been involved with this organization for a while, but I want to go back and just pick up on a couple of things. First of all, you said you equip reachers and teachers for youth. So, Glee, to make sure I kind of understand this and for those listening to understand, these are the educators. These are the people who are connecting with the youth, with the students, and what the attempt is to give them financial literacy, good qualified financial literacy. And where do you source this financial literacy for these reachers and teachers?
Well, thank you for the question. We look through our network, and they have qualified experts that teach the financial education. So every year we are doing a national search, to find the experts up there. So, for example, we have Ted Beck with us. He is with the National Endowment for Financial Education. He's one of our keynote speakers. He also serves on the Financial Council Board for President Obama. And so we go out there, we find them, and they present all of their expertise and actually educate the educators that are here so they can pay it forward to their local communities. We take approximately all year long to find and promote and recruit the experts out there, and so we have a qualified program, and it keeps NYIB alive year after year for that. He's just one example of our experts and our library of people that we do on our website.
Okay, great, great. And then the reporting aspect was something else that you mentioned. So I just want to ask you about the reporting. Then we're going to head over to Nicole here, and I'm going to ask her a few questions about what she's doing. But let's go back to the reporting for a minute. Now, the value in reporting, okay, it's a scorecard. You know, oftentimes I've had people tell me, like, oh, well, keeping track, what does that really mean? I, of course, have said, look, God thought it was important enough to put the book of numbers there, so I'm figuring it's got to be a value in reporting. So putting this in perspective, why is it necessary for the individuals within our industry to report what they're doing through the NYIB?
Well, we are the only organization nationally that has reporting for financial education presentations. So what we do with those numbers is we gather them up all year long, and we separate them for each state, and each state league and association can take those numbers when they are talking to the elected officials in their state and tell them what an impact the credit unions are making for our youth. We're making a huge difference of financial education for them. They're going to be able to make solid financial decisions. They're going to be great money managers. Our economy is going to boom in the future when they get this education. And so the purpose of NYIB is for two reasons. One, to support credit unions, but the second one, and most importantly, is to house all the financial literacy presentations so we can move forward on a national basis and showcase to our elected officials credit unions make a difference in their community. We are having a huge impact. And without the numbers, we cannot go forward. So it's critical that when we're out in our local communities and our schools, that is teaching financial education, that they report back on our website so we can make a difference and we can show the impact.
Great. And so within that network, I know there's lots of activity within regional coordinators to make sure that this is a national event that is qualified for all 50 states across the country. And one of the partners that you've reached out to who's here with us today, Nicole, you're here with us. I know you're VP of Education for Mountain West Credit Union Association. So tell us a little bit about your involvement in education and your involvement with NYIB.
Thank you, Troy. It's such a pleasure to be here today and to be a part of this program. Well, one of the things I think in my role and the work I do within the industry is to not only educate and equip youth of America and financial skills, but also to look at the importance of educating credit union staff and to develop future leaders within our industry. And so those people that are here today and all of you that are on today's call are representative of people who are continuing to develop themselves professionally. You know, Troy, there are two really interesting kind of statistics that jump out at me. One is our keynote speaker this morning, Michael Wood, mentioned that by 2020, one in three adults in the United States will be a millennial. That's a pretty staggering statistic. Similarly, in that same time frame, we expect as many as 30% of our current credit union CEOs to have retired or left their positions. So certainly there's a real important need to continue to develop our credit union leaders into future leaders of the industry.
Well, that's really important. I mean, that whole concept of making sure you understand the young professional and the development of that individual and getting them geared in. And, you know, one of the things I want to come back to is that, you know, on the statistics that you talked about, that 2025, 75% will be Gen Y. And one of the statistics that I've uncovered recently is more than 50% of that group will be women. And I find that to be interesting. It's been what a switch it is in generational activity from the traditionalists, which is my parents and their parents, and how the role of the woman in the marketplace has changed. So Do you have specific programs for young professionals that you develop, or do you partner with folks? And how do you help prepare this changing employee workforce?
Oh, great questions and areas of focus. We do. I mean, certainly I think the Mount Marsh Credit Union Association for the last several years has focused very specifically on developing a 9-month leadership institute for up-and-coming credit union professionals that's available to non-CEOs. And it really is focused not just on the operational side of running a credit union, which is very important and essential these days, but also what are the actual leadership skills that I need so that when I find myself in a position to make an impact, that I have the tools necessary to do so. And then I think the other piece that never goes away for credit unions and certainly is important now more than ever is the focus on philosophy. So not only for women and for younger workers, it's important to continue to impart the history from where credit unions came from and why credit unions are different and how they are impacting their local community.
That is really great. And so thank you both for being with us today here on the show and giving us an opportunity to talk about the balance that is needed, not only the balance in getting the young professional educated and getting the young professional involved and engaged in this industry and in this workforce, but also to think about how you impact the financial understanding of the individual in that Gen Y group and beyond to help them better understand their financial well-being and their financial health. So I really appreciate you both. Thank you so much for being involved with the National Youth Involvement Board, and thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank
really
you.
Awesome.
It was a total pleasure.
Great job. Great job, ladies. That's awesome. And, you know, Troy, I went to the NYIB site while you were talking, and they've got that little thermometer gauge there, and they've reached 372,235 young people. So they're well on their way to that goal of 500,000.
That's right. They are working on upping their youth. That's right. It's up your youth.
Well, we're gonna continue to talk about this young generation and the NYIB conference, but we're gonna take a quick break because guess who's on the line? Our good buddy from DC. She is the publisher and editor of the CU Times, a good buddy that we call Sarah. This is called Sarah Says. Never change, never stop. Hey, Sarah, how's it going?
I'm just peachy keen. Jelly Bean, how you doing?
Hey, welcome to the show. Love that.
Well, I'm happy you're peachy keen, you're all, because we want to know what Sarah has to say. Sarah, what say you?
You know, this week, the NCUA, of course, making a lot of noise. And going back actually this past week, at NAFU's annual conference, the talk of the conference was when NCUA Chairman Matz announced that the NCUA would actually consider eliminating the 5% fixed asset rule for all federally regulated credit unions. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that she's doing this because back in 2010, she led the charge in eliminating it from the Reg Flex rule, eliminating the waiver from the Reg Flex rule. But apparently, Board Member Metzger is pushing for this again to remove that NCUA approval to exceed 5% fixed assets because he was quite frank that almost all of them pass anyway. So there is that, and we'll see exactly what that's going to say or exactly what the proposal is going to say following tomorrow's board meeting. And
Sarah,
then, of course, the other
this,
thing.
I want to ask you, do you see, because we're very interested in this 5% fixed asset rule and what that means, do you see this, though, as part of a much larger plan that sometimes the rest of us can't see that has to do with how they're going to change the emphasis of regulation and really create a structure but put that responsibility back on the leadership of the credit union, which is, of course, where it needs to be, as opposed to it being more governmental controlled through the NCUA saying, here are all the rules and regulations. But basically, we're going to say, here's some guidelines. Now you guys get a chance to really see what you can do, and let's see you flex your leadership muscles and do something.
Yeah, I'd love to say yes. I'd love to say that's the direction that they're heading in.
I know, it's really positive for me. I'm a positive person, so, you know, I'm thinking that way.
Yeah, no, and absolutely. This is one of the reg relief things that this administration has done, and apparently they have quite a few more coming up. Not sure how sizable or newsworthy they'll all be, but obviously any relief is good, particularly when on the other side of the spectrum you've got the risk-based capital rule coming up, that, you know, everybody is still tentative about what the risk weights are actually going to be. And there again, that rule encompasses the antithesis of what you were just saying. Basically, you know, setting investment limits for credit unions and loan limits and things like that, rather than leaving it in the hands of the business to decide.
Well, I'll tell you, it's been a lot to keep up with. I saw the article today, or the tweet today, from Heather. It just seems like the NCUA is really doing a lot of things, and I think it's such a great juxtaposition because obviously the NYB conference is going on, and we all know how important it is to compel the loyalty of Generation Next, but at the same time, credit unions have to, you know, keep everything in line when those good buddies, the examiners, show up. What's your sense of it? Do you see any other big, big news coming out of the NCUA for the balance of the summer?
I think it may be involving the NCUA. We actually have a little scoop we're going to be breaking really soon regarding the NCUA and the corporate debacle. So be looking for that later today. But also, the NCUA is, as I mentioned, looking for more reg relief opportunities. So I think they're balancing the angst of the crane industry. It's in opposition to a lot of the details of the risk-based capital rule with some level-headed relief. At the same time, you know, you've got Board Member Frizzell leaving. Actually, I believe technically he's already left. Board Member Mick Waters will be joining, and nobody really knows a lot about him other than his involvement with the TARP plan. So we don't know exactly what kind of direction he's going to take. The same with Board Member Metzger. He hasn't been on too terribly long, and so he's just getting his footing and deciding what he wants to do. And by next year, this time next year, Debbie Matz's term will be up. So a lot of changes going on there. And then potentially you've got, they're never quick to move on NCUA board members' replacements. And it's possible that Debbie would serve out the rest of President Obama's administration. And then if a Republican comes into power, you've got an entirely different structure there.
Right. Very, very good. Well, as always, I just, you know, I freely admit that when it comes to the regulatory stuff, that's really not my strength. I'm more on the creative side of the credit union marketplace, and Troy's probably putting creative in air quotes with his fingers when I say that. But I always love getting the regulatory stuff from y'all. Y'all make it easy to understand. You're on top of everything, and I'm so glad you guys do what you do. And thank you so much for jumping on today and giving us your take on everything that's been happening over at the CU Times, Sarah. We always appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank
thanks,
you, Jason.
Thanks,
thank you,
Sarah.
Troy.
You're
welcome. Bye.
Bye.
And Troy and I'll wrap it up right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell by the way I use my voice. I'm a woman, man. No time to talk. You need love.
That is right. A question that has perplexed people much smarter than I. And we didn't get a chance to ask Nicole and Julie that question. We would have had a chance
It would have been really unfair because they're both folks that I've known for a while, so I think that I would have the spirit influence and might just, you know, wait the answer. And you know, all fairness to you, I would, you know, hate to take advantage of you in that particular way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate how fair you are with this ongoing competition.
Getting back to
a couple of things. Before we get into wrapping up the NYIB and the youth marketing and stuff like that, I want to make a quick shout-out to a couple people. First of all, to our president at Eloquent Online, Emma Douglas, is up at the Patriots Academy. Our brilliant young intern CEO is up at the Patriot Academy in Austin, Texas this week. I want to say a shout-out to Molly Bell. Troy, your troublemaker last week with your hashtag Filene Doesn't Care About Us blast, got a conversation going. I had a wonderful conversation.
I didn't say that.
Whatever the reference was to Filene.
No, I did, yeah.
Because I could go back and listen to it. But I had a great conversation with Molly Bell, a great young professional up at Filene. We're going to see about getting her on the show to talk about all the great stuff that Filene is doing. And, of course, I want to remind everybody that tomorrow we are airing our monthly radio show for the World Council of Credit Unions. I've been recording interviews all week in Australia. It has been a producing feat of logistical brilliance. I want to thank Sarah Timmons for getting all those interviews lined up. Like I said, Australia is not just a different time zone, it's a different day. And Sarah's done a great job getting all this. So we're going to hear about that global credit union marketplace tomorrow. And then lastly, my good buddies, GTE Financial, opening up their student-powered community financial center on the campus of Hillsborough College. It is a beautiful next-generation CFC, and part of the – it's not just a transactional thing, Troy. Part of the process is that they are all students, college students that are working – and they call it a CFC. I'm just going to call it a branch for the sake of people that are listening. It's a student-powered branch, and these students have been specifically trained to talk to the college students about financial literacy, and I think it's just another brilliant move by GTE Financial.
Yeah, and you already know I have a lot of passion for education and for the development of people in general, but a lot of emphasis is really needed to be placed on youth, young professionals. And by the way, when I speak about the term young professional, specifically for my involvement in the credit union industry, I don't mean a person young by age. I mean a person young to the industry. So
right.
We focus specifically in the Carolinas Credit Union League program. We call it CU Aware. And this Young Professionals Initiative is basically for individuals. It's primarily targeted. So I always have to tell you that the reality is, like in, you know, you have to create some structure. So it's primarily targeted for those folks 35 and younger, because that's where most of the individuals fall. But we actually include and welcome anyone who is new to the industry, any young professional to the industry. We welcome you if you are seasoned and have years of experience somewhere else, because there is a very particular way in which we operate from a financial cooperative on a social platform of people helping people, and we operate on that not-for-profit. So it's very different than when you're working for a profitized organization, and then you come in and you work for a not-for-profit. And so you have to understand the difference between that in order to be successful.
Well, I know you've been at the conference. Are there any big takeaways that you've heard that you're going to maybe go back to South Carolina Federal Credit Union and think about maybe implementing at your own credit union?
Well, the one thing that I did find interesting, it's a little self-serving, but just to speak about it, is Michael Wood, connected with the 747 group, was one of the opening speakers this morning, and he provided a lot of generational, the Gen Y generational information, and really, for me, helped cement and solidify that the research that I've been doing independently on my own for my own personal pursuit really matches up with what a large organization has been doing out in the marketplace today. So the relevancy of what we have been speaking about on the show can definitely be confirmed with qualified and quantitative research that is done by the 747 group that actually provides it and makes it accessible. And he actually provided this as just a nice little way we kind of wrap the closure on this, and we talk more about statistics when we devote the show a little differently. But one of the main reasons why individuals have to pay attention to the Gen Y group is because they are now currently the largest living generation, and they are the ones entering into their prime years for consumption of products, goods, services, specifically in financial services from a lending perspective, because, you know, obviously that's where we have a chance to earn income that we can then take those profits and turn them back to the consumer. And then the last thing is that they are an influential impact to society because they are the ones folks are watching for the trends of where they're going and what's happening.
Well, we've been talking about Generation Y seemingly the entire month on the show, which is absolutely no problem for us. We've said it many, many times, again, in the musical vernacular, since it's the power of performance. The key signature on this show has always been generational things, and I know you and I share a common passion for that subject. We were dealing with some differences in opinions with our buddies over at Claim Your Youth out in New Mexico, and honestly, this is a great example. You can go to the NYIB site and see exactly how many young people they've reached with their educational outreach. And my only question to those guys was, what exactly do you do? I was just curious, and I didn't know that asking that question would compel them to block me from following them on Twitter. But I think it's only fair to ask questions when members are supporting the credit unions that support the league. And that's why I'm such a big fan of the NYIB, because they do such a great job of demonstrating tangible results. And of course, Troy, on this show, and Tough Talk and Troy has talked about it many times, we judge results, not intentions.
Yeah, I think it's good. My mother had a saying to me. She says, the way to hell is paved with good intention. So you think about it from that perspective, and what she was actually saying to me is that intention is only one part of the aspect. You have to have the action that matches right up to it. It's like, do your actions equal your words? Do your words equal your actions? And when there's congruency between those two items, then you could probably spell the word success.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's no better way to wrap up the show than a quote from Troy's mom. Troy, please travel safely back to South Carolina. Enjoy the rest of the conference. And thank you so much
you
for getting the guest today. You are co-host and producer extraordinaire on the show today.
I know. Thank you for giving me that great opportunity. Thank you. I appreciate that, man.
Hey, listen, I want to thank Bryce last week. It was our most listened to show so far in the month of July. Now, World Council gets their show tomorrow, last day of July, and they've won the past 2 months in a row, so it's heating up here on the radio, literally, as our sizzling summer of radio continues unabated. We're the locomotive that nobody seemingly can stop. Hey, Troy, you have a great rest of the week. Everybody else, thank you so much for listening. If it's Wednesday, it's the Power of Performance, the show that asked the question, if your brand were a band, would you leave the audience wanting more? Join Troy and I next week, same place, same time. Troy, you'll be back home, correct, in Charleston?
Yep, I'll be back home. Thank you.
That's right. In hashtag Charleston, where even when it rains,
the sun still shines, and it shines bright.
Everybody else, you have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
That's all, folks. We'll